Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, dear brothers and sisters. We are studying together the Gospel of John, and I would like you please to turn with me to the 6th chapter of John, Yohanan in Hebrew, and we have arrived now to the last portion of the 6th chapter. The Gospel of John, to remind you, dear brothers and sisters, is a very important Gospel because God, by His Spirit, present before us the deity of Yeshua the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of this world, must be more than just another man. Why? Because another man, each and every one of you and me, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and therefore God had to send the man from heaven. And that man from heaven is none else but the Emmanuel, God with us, the one that is called, and according to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, El Gibor, the mighty God. And so he was born into this world through the seed of the woman, through the virgin Miriam in Bethlehem. And so he came in order to live a perfect life and die a substitutionary death. His name is Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, the Redeemer. At the last portion of chapter 6, we see a very interesting portion that helps us to see how important it is to accept Yeshua and to continue to follow after him, because we live in a world that reject him, and his disciples need to continue to follow after him, identifying with him in the Messiah's rejection. This is the experience that the early Hebrew believers have experienced, and here we see them here in the 6th chapter. Notice what it says in verse 60 on to the end of the chapter, to verse 71, we read, "Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?' When Yeshua, Jesus, knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not.' For Yeshua knew from the beginning who they were that believe not, and who should betray him. And he said, 'Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it was given unto him of my Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, 'Will ye also go away?' Then Shimon, Peter, answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Messiah, Mashiach, Christos, the Son of the living God, Ben Elohim Chaim.' Jesus answered them, 'Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Yehuda Ishkariot, Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Well, this is a very interesting portion as we close this sixth chapter of the Gospel of Yohanan, John. You remember, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, that this whole sixth chapter started, if you remember, when the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, fed the multitude in the land of Israel. Many in the Galil and from all over the nation of Israel, the land of Israel, came to the Galil to follow after him, the multitude. He fed them using the 5 loaves and 2 fishes of this boy that was willing to give him his lunch. And Yeshua prayed, and multitude were fed. From there on, we noticed that they sought for him, and as they were crossing to the other side, he finally arrived to Kfar Nahum. There were those that sought for him at this village called Kfar Nahum. In Hebrew, it's 2 Hebrew words. Kfar means village. Nahum means the name of the man on whose name the village was called. Kfar Nahum, the village of Nahum. And as they were seeking for him, we have learned very quickly that there were those that sought for him. You remember that, beloved brothers and sisters? There were those that sought for him, and they found him. And as they found him, they sought for him, they found him, they asked him many questions. Out of them, there were those that murmured. And then there were those that strove among themselves and strove with him concerning some of the things that he said concerning himself. And by the time we arrive to verse 60, all the way to the end of the chapter, we see that there were some from all the multitude that followed that now departed from him, that left him. So we have the seekers, the murmurers, the strivers, and those, the departers, those that departed. It is very interesting that it is very much so in every generation. Since the foundation of the church, the ecclesia, the assembly, we can say that all of us are part of these, some who perhaps during our life we sometimes murmur, sometimes we strive, and yet we sought for him, but the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, wants us not to depart when there are difficult times and when there are difficult situations, to stay close to him and to follow after Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, who loved us even unto death and gave himself for us. Well, you notice that in the previous verses that we have read earlier, in verses 52 to 59, there were some sayings that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, said that caused these disciples, especially the ones that were closer to him, to have to make a decision whether they are continue to follow after him or not. You notice how it began in verse 60, that many of Yeshua's talmidim, in Hebrew the word talmid means the student, the disciple, many of his followers, his disciples, began to question some of the saying of the Lord Jesus. We read in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Now, what does it mean when they heard this? Well, that has a reference to the previous portion of that passage, of that chapter, in verses 53 to 58. That was a saying of Yeshua the Messiah that was not easy to understand. But when one is spiritually minded and understand what Yeshua meant, it makes it easy as the Spirit of God helping us to grasp it. What did he say in verses 53 to 58? He said, "Verily, verily, I'm saying to you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day." Verse 55, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Verse 56, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Verse 57 says, "As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live in me." And then verse 58, it says, "For this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Now imagine, this is not an easy statement to grasp. You and I today, many do not quite grasp. What does he mean when Yeshua said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat my flesh, the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you"? We have already dwelt upon this, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, that obviously the Lord does not want us to be cannibals and eating flesh of a human flesh and drinking human blood. What Yeshua is saying in these verses, verses 53 to verse 58, is simply this: that every person must appropriate the life and the death of the Messiah for each and every one of us, for our redemption and our spiritual gain. In other words, the flesh of Yeshua and the blood that he shed for our sins, he was punished, he died, he gave his life, he gave his body in order to redeem you and I unto God. He was the sinless one. You and I are the sinners. All of us are sinners. He died, he gave his life on the tree, and he shed his blood there on that shameful Roman cross in order to pay for the sin of this world. In other words, he fulfilled all that which God gave to his people Israel through the sacrificial system. When God gave to our forefathers the command to take a lamb, to kill the lamb, to place its blood on the altar, to place their flesh on the altar, and God consumed that lamb. And therefore, when God was vindicated and God was satisfied with respect to sin, God could forgive the Israeli believer who offered a sacrifice. To remind you that when our forefathers came out of the land of Egypt, they had to have the blood of a lamb placed upon the doorpost and the lintel. And God says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Same thing throughout the sacrificial system when Israel would go into the land, in the tabernacle and the temple. It is the blood is making an atonement for the soul all the time. Every Israeli, all the children of Israel and the priesthood had to offer sacrifices. Lambs and goat and calves were killed daily, every day, every Shabbat, every week, every month, every a feast, every Day of Atonement, animals were killed, the flesh of the animals had to be placed upon the altar, the blood had to be poured upon the altar to place there, and God consumed these sacrifices. And it made atonement for the nation of Israel. We have the five sacrifices: the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, all the fivefold sacrifices that only were commanded by God, and they made atonement for the Israeli believer. All these sacrifices, all these in Hebrew korbanot, were pointing to the Messiah Yeshua himself. And now, he is in the land of Israel in anticipation of going to die on the shameful cross to become the one that will take away the sin of this world. And he's saying to those who follow him, If they are going to have eternal life, they must to appropriate, to make it their own, his life-giving blood, that he would give his body and will shed his blood and for the forgiveness of sins. That's why we read in John 1 and verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of this world." We also read of John chapter 1, "Behold the Lamb of God, Hine Se HaElohim" in Hebrew. So it's very, on the one hand, very difficult to grasp when he was there alive, when Yeshua was alive with them before he died. They didn't quite grasp what does that mean, but he is seeking to explain this to them. And he linked this statement with the man, with the manna, the bread that came down from heaven. Because to remind you, in Exodus chapter 16, in a supernatural way, God provided bread from heaven for our people, of all the people of Israel. Well, God now sent the bread from heaven, and that bread is not only the bread that we find in Exodus 16, that is a special, unique piece that will be placed upon the ground in a supernatural way and will satisfy the Hebrews with their physical need. But here the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, calling himself the bread from heaven. That's why, if you remember, we have already read in verse 35, "I am the bread of life." Ani hu lechem achaim. So now as we are moving along, in verse 53 to 58, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, emphasizes the fact that they must, believers, anyone who's going to follow him, "Whosoever eateth my flesh," notice verse 54, "and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life." Not only life temporary, long life on earth, no, but eternal life, because all will die, but the believers will have everlasting life. Chaye olam. You notice also that he mentioned in verse 57, "As the living Father has sent me." God is alive. The Father, Abba, Av HaChaim, the Father from the living Father, God the Father, he has sent me, Yeshua said. God the Father sent the Son to become the Savior of this world. So, as the Father has sent me, Yeshua said, "And I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." So God the Father sent the Son, and anyone that believe on God the Son as man who is will die and will pay for his or her sin, he will live, she will live, because of the Messiah will be alive. He will die, will be buried, he will rise again, and every believer in him will have everlasting life. So now we are moving now to our portion in this ministry, verses 60 to verses 71. So many of his disciples, when they've heard this statement that I read from verse 53 to verse 58, they were, as it says here, they said that it was a hard saying. Who can hear it? It was difficult to grasp. And beloved friend, today people have a problem to grasp what Yeshua meant. And that's why sometimes there are those who believe that the blood and the body of the Lord is almost being kind of shed again and again. When those who are going through the remembrance of the Lord and the Lord's table, and they believe that the blood is, you might say, that the Messiah being crucified again and again, as the professing Christian goes through the remembrance meeting, and some believe that the wine and the bread that they are eating is literally become the blood and the body and the flesh of the Messiah, but it's not true, because the Messiah died once and he does not die again. And this is really wrong to claim that the body and the blood of Yeshua is seen again and again by the remembrance meeting, what is called the Lord's Supper. But beloved friend, no, we believers remember him in his death and his resurrection by participating with Eating a bread and drinking the grape juice, it's a memorial service, but it is not at all becoming the blood and the body of the Messiah. He doesn't shed his blood again and again, because we read it in scriptures in Hebrews. We read it very clearly that by one sacrifice he sanctified forever them that are sanctified. And this is essential to understand, my dear friend. This is very, very important to grasp as we study the Word of God. We read in Hebrews 10 and verse 10, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus the Messiah once and for all. He doesn't die again and again, but it is appropriation of the work of Christ, the work of the Messiah, into our hearts, and one receive the assurance of forgiveness of sin. So it was very difficult for these disciples to understand. So notice what Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, says to them in verse 61. He questioned his disciples, and he said to them in John 6 and verse 61, he said, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? In other words, does this cause you to stumble? Are you stumbling because I tell you that you must appropriate my shed blood and my body, which will be given for you? You must make it your own, make it, believe on me, realize that I am that promised Redeemer, the Savior who will die for your sins. Does that offend you? Well, you notice that in the next verse, we find out in verse 62, he said to them, what if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Another, he said to them, if I tell you these things now, while I'm here with you, seeking to explain to you, to realize what is going to happen, that ultimately I will have to die, I will have to give my life a ransom, I will have to shed my blood, they will hang me on a Roman cross, they will pierce my hands and my feet and my side, and blood will be shed, and I will die. In a sense, he's explaining this to them, and other passages of scripture helps us to grasp it even more, but you can just see that he is preparing them for his death on that shameful cross, my dear brothers and sisters and dear friend. In fact, we read in Matthew chapter 16, from that time forth, verse 21, Yeshua began to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised again on the third day. This is Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. In chapter 17, he said in verse 22, and while they abode in the Galilee, Yeshua said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hand of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. You see, he is emphasizing the fact that he will die and be resurrected. He had to give his body unto death in order to provide redemption. Just like the lambs and the rams and the goat and the calves in days of old on the altars that God demanded from our forefathers. All of these animals had to die. All of these animals had to shed their blood. All of these animals had to be offered in order to make atonement for the souls of the nation of Israel. But all of them pointed to the coming of the Mashiach. And when the Mashiach came, he became the fulfillment of this work of God. Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 18, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. So he was predicting his death, his burial, and resurrection. And that's why, beloved friends and dear brothers and sisters, in this verse 62 of John 6, Yeshua said, "And what if you shall see the Son of Man ascended up where he was before? I told you that I will die, but if you don't believe this, what will you say if you're going to see the Son of Man?" Again, to remind you, the word "the Son of Man," Ben Ha'adam in Hebrew, it is the messianic title. Yeshua is the Messiah, and as the Messiah, he will not only live and die and raise, but he will be ascended. He will be ascended and be taken to heaven. So he was challenging them, beloved friend, the dear brothers and sisters, if you don't believe that the Son of Man will die and he will shed his blood and will give his body on that cross, what will you say if you're going to see him now ascending, going back up, up, up to heaven? The Messiah will be ascended to go where he came from. And again, the word and the messianic title, the Son of Man, is taken from Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13, where Daniel received information from the angel who called him and gave him messages from the Lord. And once and again, he received information from the angel concerning the future of Israel and the second coming of the Messiah. And the Lord, by visions, have shown him many things. In Daniel 7:13, Daniel said, "And I saw in a night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the cloud of heaven, Ben Ha'adam," the Messiah, "and came to the Ancient of Day, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nation, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." You see, this is speaking about the second coming of the Messiah, and he will be that Son of Man that will come from heaven, and every eye shall see him. But my dear friend, in John 6 and verse 62, Yeshua is now, who came, who was born to the Virgin Miriam and lived here upon the face of this earth, soon he's going to die. He's going to give his body. He's going to shed his blood, as he mentioned, the verse 53 to 58. He will have to die. But he will not remain on the cross and in the grave. He will be resurrected, but also he will be ascended. He will go back to heaven. And for now, the last 2,000 years of the church history, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, is not on earth. He's in heaven. So he's saying to them, what will you say if you're going to see the Son of Man is taken up to heaven? This is speaking about his ascension to heaven, which took place after his resurrection. 40 days he was here on earth, and then he was ascended up to heaven. This is beautiful to see, beloved brothers and sisters. So he's really challenging those who followed him, and they were struggling with what he said. He said to them, if you don't quite grasp what I mean when I say that you must appropriate my death to yourself, will you be able to appropriate my resurrection and my ascension? Will you be able to do so? You see, what we read in Scripture is extremely interesting. In fact, what we read in Mark, at the end of the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 16 and verse 19, "So then, after the Lord," this is Yeshua, had spoken unto them, this is to the disciples, of course that will happen later on, but we just go ahead and just show and read the passage that the Lord has applied and spoke about in verse 62 of John chapter 6. We see that after he spoke to the disciples, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. This is so beautiful, my dear brothers and sisters. This is fascinating. And the Lord is preparing the disciples. He says, wow, if you don't believe that you must to appropriate my blood and my body to yourself, and you say that this is a hard saying, will you be able to understand? What will you say when you shall see the Son of Man going to heaven after his death and resurrection? This is why it is so important to understand. Notice what it says in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. It says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye shall be endued with the power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You see, beloved friend, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, wanted his disciples to understand this important fact that he is God the Son, and that he entered into this world through the Virgin Miriam, and that the reason that he was born into this world is because he came to die for the sin of this world. That's why John 1 and verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He lived here, but he was going to die, and he was going to give his flesh, his body, and to give his blood in order that whoever will believe in him will have everlasting life. But not only so, he will rise, and he will be ascended, and that he will be eventually seated at God's right hand. One more verse I want to read to you. It's found in Acts chapter 1. In verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they behold, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Yeshua, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So the Yeshua, Jesus, is asking them in verse 62, what if ye shall see the Son of Man ascended up where he was before? Well, beloved friend, how wonderful it is. The same God, the Son, who became a man, took union humanity with his divine nature, when he gone back to heaven after his death, burial, and resurrection, he was ascended to heaven, and he is now in glory, in heaven, he is sitting at God's right hand, but now he is seated there as a man as well, in addition to the fact that he is the eternal Son of God. He is also took union humanity with his divine nature, and now he is in heaven because he finished the work on the cross, and he is now as a man as well, seated in heaven at the right hand of God, giving us a title to be able to have this assurance that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Because he lived, we will live also. Because he was accepted by God as man, you and I, men and women who believe on him, will be taken to heaven to be with him in a soon coming day. So that's what Yeshua wanted them to understand. But to remind you that he's speaking to his disciples. And again, we have to understand that the word Talmidim apply not only to those who truly followed him, but also those who were following him, but they did not yet appropriate him to be their Messiah. This is very important to grasp, my dear friend, because we will notice now from verse 63 on that Yeshua, Jesus, explained that what he said about eating and drinking of his flesh is not to be taken in a sense of one had to be eating his flesh and drinking his blood literally, but it is applying to the teaching, to the spiritual instruction that he's seeking to instruct those that sought to follow after him. And so notice what it says in verse 63. It is not to be understood as literally, but it is to be understood as spiritually to appropriate the blood and the body of the Messiah. So we read in verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the spirit maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You see, he's speaking to them. He says the flesh is really, you know, he doesn't tell them that they're supposed to eat his flesh. And even by explaining to them, he says, listen, the Holy Spirit of God is that the one that gives life. God the Spirit is the one that gives life. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us life. And therefore they needed to understand that they needed life as they listened to his word, allowing the Spirit of God to guide them, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, through the words that he spoke, would provide for one life. Because this flesh of ours, this old nature, does not profit at all. The Spirit giveth life, the flesh profiteth nothing. This is more, very important to understand. In the second half of verse 63, he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You see, don't take what I'm saying to you literally, that you need to drink my blood when I will die, that you need to eat my body, this is my flesh, when I will die. No, but it is the words that I'm speaking to you, the teaching that I provide for you, the message that I give to you, that will be the one that the Spirit of God will use in order to provide for you life. This is essential, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, to understand. It is very important that we see that clearly, because our flesh, our old nature, is really does not profit anything, because we have a sin nature. Whenever we speak about the word flesh, it doesn't speak about the flesh that is upon the bones of our body, but is oftentimes speaks about the sin nature that we have. The flesh profiteth nothing. Yeshua is now showing us the spiritual truth. The old sin nature that we have does not profit a thing. It does not profit a thing. Why? Because the sin nature is nature that will ultimately lead us into eternal separation from God. That's why we need to have a new nature. You remember what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The things of the Spirit of God are taught by the Holy Spirit of God. And the natural man, the man of the flesh, the man with a sin nature cannot understand it unless the Holy Spirit of God clarify this and help us understand. So, the Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit gives life. The flesh, the old nature, profiteth nothing. And the words that I speak unto you, Yeshua says, these words are spirit and they are life. There is a very interesting verse that is found in Romans chapter 7, when the Apostle Paul helps us to understand the sin nature, the old man that we have. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, and he says in verse 18, "For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Listen to this, beloved friend. "I know that in me, that is in my flesh," he means in my nature, in my Adamic nature, in my sin nature, "dwelleth no good thing." In other words, the flesh profiteth nothing, beloved friend. This is an important principle to understand. Paul also said later on in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in the Messiah Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." We have no confidence in our old sin nature. Paul does not speak here about the flesh that is on the bones of the body in verse 63 of John 6. No, he is speaking about the sin nature that we all possess when we were born to our parent. In Romans, also, chapter 8, the Apostle Paul also says in verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the fleshly mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul speaking to those who became believers in Yeshua the Messiah. So this is an important verse to understand. So as Yeshua continued to speak to his disciples there, he said to them in verse 64 now, the result of this message was that some have departed and left him. Notice we read in verse 64, "But there are some of you that believe not. For Yeshua knew from the beginning who they were that believe not, and who should betray him." You see, there are those who were called disciples. They were called Talmidim. They learn a lot about the Lord, but they haven't made him their own. And you see, my dear friend, it's really important for us to understand today, not everyone that say, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that believeth on the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, he that doeth the will of him that sent me, Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 7, because many would say in those days, many will come unto me and will say, Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 7, they will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out many demons, and in thy name have done many wonderful works?" And notice that the answer that the Lord Jesus the Messiah would give to them, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." In other words, the lesson is that one must appropriate the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah to himself or to herself. We must believe. We must accept it. We must be honest with God and say, God, I am a sinner, and I need forgiveness of sins, and thank you for Yeshua the Messiah who gave his body and his blood for my sin. Apparently, in this verse 64, it says here, Yeshua knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. You see, they were disciples, some of them, or at least they said they were disciples, but in actuality, they were just a disciples that learned from without, but never made it their own. It's like, sadly, in our days today, many people might go to a church building, might sit in the pew, maybe we'll even sing the song, and maybe we'll open the Word of God and hear what the Bible teacher or the spiritual leader or the servant of the Lord will share with them, but never, never have recognized that they themselves individually need Yeshua, need Jesus, that they are sinners and they need to repent and to turn to Him. I wonder if you, my dear friend, as we study together, are you sure that you belong to Him? Are you sure that you have accepted Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, as your Lord and Savior? Have you recognized that you are by nature a doom to eternal separation from God? Have you come to the point that you have learned this truth, that the flesh profiteth nothing? The flesh profiteth nothing. I know that is in me dwelleth no good thing, Shaul Paul said, and Yeshua is saying to us here. We all, the best of us, are all by nature sinners, and that's why we need to have a new nature, a divine nature, a nature that we'll receive when we accept Yeshua the Messiah. The apostle Shaul Paul said, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Mashiach, he is a new creature, new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is what the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, teaching us in this passage. So, sadly, many who claim and gave the assumption that they are his disciples, but they actually did not believe, and he knew them from the beginning. He knew them. Or they may give an impression that they belong to him to others. But you know, the Lord knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He knows if you and I really belong to him. The Lord Jesus wants us to turn to him, but if we don't, and if we turn away from him, eventually we will bear the consequence of rejection of the Messiah. To remind you that we already read in John chapter 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's why the whole Gospel of John was written. As we read in John 20 and verse 31, these things are written that ye might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. He that has the Son, he that believeth on the Son, have everlasting life. Well, in John 6 and verse 64 we read, that he knew that they did not believe on him. And also notice, he also knew who should betray him. In other words, there was another one in their midst, one of the 12, that he will also betray the Lord Yeshua the Messiah to the spiritual leaders, and ultimately they will hand him over to Pilate, to the Romans, and ultimately he will be crucified. But notice how sad it is. Many who were close to Yeshua, yet they were so far from him. Many who today are close to believers, close to the Bible, close to the things of God, and yet far away from the Lord because they're rejecting the truth of the Scripture and rejection of the Messiahship of Jesus. Well, listen to this, my dear friend. In verse 65, we read, it says here, "And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him from my Father." You remember, beloved friends, how we learn here that God gave us who came to him a gift? No man can come unto me unless or except it were given. Here's the gift. It was given unto him of my Father. It was already earlier in verse 44 that Yeshua said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me drew him, and I will raise him up in the last day." So here, my dear friend, we learn what it's known to be like, almost like a family truth, a family secret, even though it is written in a word. But you see, we learn this the moment we turn to the Lord. We found out that really it was the Lord by the Spirit who drew me unto Yeshua the Messiah. It was God the Father who gave me that gift of coming to the Lord Jesus the Messiah, the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. You know, sometimes Bible teachers teach this like that. The Bible says, "Whosoever will, let him come." You remember we already read this in an earlier verse, that the Lord have explained this. "All that the Father has given unto me shall come unto me." This is verse 37 of John 6. But then in the second half of this verse 37, he said, "Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." So God is inviting all to come, whosoever will, come and drink of the water of life freely. You remember what we read in Matthew chapter 11, the invitation that Yeshua gave in Matthew 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So the invitation is going out to everyone. And those of us that came, we responded to the invitation. So when we see a sign above a door that says, "Whosoever will, let him come," so we come in to the door and we have entered in to be part of a redeemed company, part of the house of God, part of the assembly of Yeshua the Messiah, part of this ark of safety. But once we get in, we look back at the very same door through which we have entered in. And what do we see? We see another sign on the inside of the door. We see that other sign, but this time from the inside. And what do we see? We see that we have been chosen in Christ, in the Mashiach, before the foundation of the world. So we read and we learn, as we have it in verse 65, "I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it was given unto him of my Father." God the Father have drawn us, and God the Father have given us, have allowed us to be drawn to him and enter in and become part of a redeemed company. The apostle Shaul Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places," or in the heavenlies, in the Messiah. And notice what he adds in verse 4, "according as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love." And so we learn very quickly that we are the one that were drawn by God to come in. We are the ones that God have allowed us, have given us the privilege to come in. We have learned that we have been chosen in the Messiah before the foundation of the world. We have learned very quickly that it is God who drew us to himself. This is a very important principle that we all must learn if we are to grow in the things of the Lord. So, we are all called. All men is called, but those of us who came learned very quickly that we have been chosen before the foundation of the world in order to be part of a redeemed company. God is sovereign. God has a providence over his own creation, and he is the one that draw and bring people unto himself. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, said in John chapter 15, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And this is an important principle. In a sense, my dear friend, it's almost like a family truth that we learn this as a family of God who come in and understand these truths that are found in the scripture. Well, notice what it says in John 6, verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." And so many of these disciples can be included, some who did not believe at all. As he mentioned it in a previous verse, that he knew from the beginning who the one that did not believe, but also it may be also some who were believing on him but didn't want to identify with him at first. Later on, they were drawn back to him and followed after him. So he knows, the Lord knows the hearts. You and I are just learners, read the scripture, but the Lord knows the hearts of each and every one that belong to him. He knows if you truly belong to him, if you accepted him, and he also knows if you rejected Yeshua himself. And he also knows those that have accepted him, but struggling, doubting, but he will draw those that have accepted him to continue to follow after him. Now, I want to read the last verses here in John chapter 6. These are verses, verse 67 to verse 71, which are very, very important. Yeshua asked the 12, "Will you also go away?" So now notice, we have 12 disciples that according to Matthew chapter 10, those are the 12 that were chosen by the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, that he himself have chosen them for himself. These are the 12 disciples that he have chosen according to Matthew chapter 10. And I'll just give you the name. And it says in Matthew 10, verse 1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirit, and they cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these." The first one is Shimon, who is called Peter, and then Andrew, his brother, and then James, this is Yaakov, the son of Zebedee, and then John, his brother, Yohanan, and then Philip, and then Bartholomew, and then Thomas, in Hebrew is Theom, and then Matthew, the publican, and then James, this is Yaakov, of Alphaeus, and then Libras, this is Judah, and then finally we have, who is also surname was Thaddaeus, and then we have Simon, the Canaanite, and finally we have Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go." And he said, "Go not first to the Gentile, go to the Jewish people initially." So these 12 were chosen by the Lord. And so he's asking these 12, "Will you also go away?" And notice how beautiful. In verse 68, Simon Peter answered him and he said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." There is nowhere to turn. There is nowhere to turn, my dear friend. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is the one that gives eternal life, and his words are the words of eternal life. This is exactly what Yeshua said in verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's why Shimon Petro said, to whom shall we go? There is nowhere to go. My dear friend, this is such an important statement. Where will you go in order to receive forgiveness of sins? You can go to this priest. You can go to this imam. You can go to this rabbi. You can go to this man, this great man, this politician, this king, or this prime minister or president. But no man can provide for us life. And Shimon Petros gives us a foundational principle to learn. To whom shall we go? In Hebrew, le'an. And more than just le'an, le'mi. Notice the word to whom. To which person shall we go? Le'mi nelech. You, Lord, have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. And he continued. Shimon Petros continued and he said, we believe and we are sure that thou art the Mashiach, the Son of the living God. We believe and we are sure that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, to remind you, my dear brothers and sisters, the same thought we have in Matthew chapter 16, where Yeshua asked the disciples in verse 13, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some of them say, you are John, or you are Eliyahu, or you are Yirmiyahu, or one of the prophets. But he said, but whom do you say that I am? Yeshua said to his disciples. And there in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, Simon Peter, notice a beautiful statement. He answered and he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Atahu HaMashiach, Ben Elohim Chayim. You are the Christ, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And you remember what Yeshua said to him immediately after that? In verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar Yonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon your confession that I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God, I will build my assembly, my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Oh, beloved friend, notice the statement of Peter in John chapter 6 and verse 68b and verse 69, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe, and we are sure that thou art the Mashiach, the Christ, the Christos, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Ben Elohim Chaim. You see, Peter had this assurance because the Father revealed it unto him. As we read in verse 65, no one can come unto me except it was given unto him of my Father, God the Father. Have opened the heart and the mind by the Spirit, by God the Holy Spirit, that Peter and those disciples who believe in him will understand the truth concerning God the Son, Yeshua the Messiah. You see, the whole triune Godhead is involved in the awakening of the hearts and the conscience of us all who believe. God the Father have used God the Spirit to unfold before the believers the truth concerning God the Son, who became a man, the Messiah, Yeshua, who was born here into this world and will die for a substitutionary death for the sin of this world. The whole Godhead is involved in the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Notice again, no one can come unto me except it was given to him of my Father. This is Elohim Ha'aba, God the Father. Verse 63, it is the Spirit that maketh alive, that quickeneth. This is God the Holy Spirit who provide life. And then we see God the Son, which Peter proclaimed, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Ben Elohim Chaim. Beloved friend, this is so tremendous truth to get a hold of. And you and I who are believers are blessed to understand these truths that are found for us here in that word of God. We ought to be so thankful that God have opened our hearts and our eyes to believe. As Peter said, we believe and we are sure that you are the Messiah, the Mashiach, Ben Elohim Chaim, the Son of the living God. And notice what we read in the last two verses, that even from among the 12, the Lord teaching us additional truth, giving us additional information to learn, to help us to grasp certain things that are hard to be understood. In verse 70, Yeshua answered unto Peter and his disciples, and we read, notice what he said, "Have I not chosen you 12? Notice, as I mentioned in chapter 15, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." In John 6, verse 70, "Have not I have chosen 12? But now notice, he continues in verse 70b, "And one of you is a devil or a demon." In other words, one of you 12 which I have chosen is Hasatan, is doing the work of Hasatan, doing the work of Satan. One of you is a devil. Now what we learn here, that while the Lord Jesus the Messiah chose 12 according to Matthew chapter 10 in the first few verses, where we had the list of all the 10, beginning with Simon, Shimon, and ending with Judas, the last one. You notice that in the list of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 4, Judas is the last one. Yehuda in Hebrew is called Yehuda Ish Krayot. Ish means a man, Krayot means the suburbs. Yehuda, the man from the suburbs. Now, while Yeshua chose 12, he knew very well that not all these 12 are part of the redeemed company. One of them, he was chosen to be among the 12, but he was not chosen to be part of those that will have everlasting life. And one wonder why? Well, we don't understand this, but we know that scripture must be fulfilled. And it is extremely interesting because the scripture did say that there will be one that will betray the Messiah. The Hebrew prophets, the psalmist of Israel, already predicted that when the Mashiach will come at his first coming, there will be the one that will betray him. And that's why the last verse of John 6, verse 71 says, "He spake of Yehuda Ishkrayot." Yehuda is the name. Ish means a man. Krayot means of the suburbs. Yehuda, the man from the suburbs, Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. His father was Shimon. And it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Well, listen, my dear friend. The disciples did not all know this, but the Lord knew that. And Yeshua the Messiah knew that because it was long before Yeshua the Messiah came into this world. The messengers, the prophets of Israel, by the power of the Spirit of God, predicted that one day when the Messiah will come, there will be one that will betray the Messiah at his first coming. David said in Psalm 41 concerning this one, and David, to remind you, David, the beloved one, is a picture and a type of the Messiah. He was the one that oftentimes he spoke by the word of God in, you might say, prophetically, the words of the Messiah. Like Psalm 22, "Elohi, Elohi, lama azavtani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Quoted in Matthew chapter 27 by Yeshua the Messiah. Well, in verse 9 of Psalm 41, we read, "Yea, mine own familiar friend." In Hebrew, it's Ish Shlomi, the one that I had peace towards, the one that we had a time that we were having shalom together. But he is the one whom I trusted, which did eat my bread. He has lifted up his heel against me. In other words, prophetically, it was known that there will be one that will rise and will lift up his heel against the David, but prophetically the Messiah himself. In Psalm 55, we read in verse 11, "Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets." This is speaking about Jerusalem, when our people were departing from the ways of the Lord. "For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it," the psalmist David says, "neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him." But then notice what he says in verse 13. He says, "It was thou a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." This is the one that magnified himself against me, David is saying, by the word of the Lord. He is the one that turned up against David, but prophetically turned against the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Well, this is exactly what was fulfilled when Yehuda Ishkayot turned against our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, and betrayed him. I just want to read one more verse, John 12 and verse 4. "Then saith one of his disciples, Yehuda Ishkayot, Simon's son, which should betray him." He is the one that's speaking there, and he's speaking to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Then in chapter 13, when they are in the upper room, just at the last time before Yeshua goes to the cross, we read in verse 2 of John 13, "And supper being, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judah Iscariot, Yehuda Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Notice that? And then we continue to read in verse 26 of the very same chapter, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered unto him. Then said Jesus unto him, "What you do, do it quickly." And you see, not everyone grasped it and understood that, but in this sixth chapter, at the end of that sixth chapter, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, and he gave them additional information, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Yehuda Iscariot, the son of Shimon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Well, my dear brothers and sisters and dear friend, this is the lesson that we learn here from the last portion of John chapter 6. Well, with this passage, we have finished the whole sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. May God help us to grasp all these truths and help us to appreciate what Yeshua the Messiah have done for us to provide for us eternal life. Well, God bless you, dear brothers and sisters. I'll say to you now, shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.